Thus far, two people have noticed that I'm wearing a Michigan State sweatshirt this morning. One actually asked me if I'm a Michigan State fan. Yeah, go Sparty! No, I actually told a friend that if they knocked off, and he's a big Michigan State fan, if they knocked off Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game, I would actually do this because I hate Ohio State that much. And if Wisconsin couldn't knock them off when they man, if that game had been at Camp Randall, think how different the entire college season could be right now. And it was just about worth it to see the expression on Meyer's face and the players. I didn't want them anywhere near the national championship game. On the other hand, I've learned about making these pledges when I've been drinking. Jason is shaking his head in disgust over there. Well, you've got many things to bother you these days. What do the Packers do now? If Aaron Rodgers is ready to go, you have to start him now. You hope Randall Cobb's ready to go. I said if you still don't rush, but the dynamic has changed dramatically. Because as a friend told me, it's true, Detroit could screw up a free lunch. I think they did yesterday, as a matter of fact. Wow, just weird. And home field advantage in the playoffs may be more important than it's been in a long time. It meant nothing in 2010. Packers went on the road and not blew everybody out, but defeated everybody all the way to the Super Bowl. New Orleans looks like the team to beat if they get home field advantage, which they probably won't. Seattle looks like the team to beat if they get home field advantage, which they probably still will, even though they couldn't knock off San Francisco at San Francisco yesterday. Very good game, by the way. I really couldn't believe what New Orleans did to the Panthers last night. See what I'm saying? The last year that looked like this, really, was 96. You knew if the Packers got home field throughout, that they were going all the way. You just knew that. They were 8-0 at home that year, 5-3 on the road. Lost to Dallas, Kansas City, and Minnesota, not in that order. Just amazing. Really, just bizarre. And by the way, the AFC, the same thing. You would think that there are teams that are virtually invincible at home, but somebody's got to lock up the home field advantage. More on that later in the show. Had an interesting experience on Friday evening. By the way, a very, very, very fun experience. As you may know, although it's not our signature charity, but certainly you've heard me talk about it, that is Ben's Wish. And I've told the story of Ben DeLane, son of Peter and Becky DeLane, who are friends, by the way. The DeLanes and my wife and I are friends. But it started through Ben's Wish. Their son died, I want to say, 2007 in a vacation accident. And one of his last acts was giving a homeless man some food, and they have started Ben's Wish. They work with the backpack program. They help the food pantries. That's what they do. And they believe that that was God's way of telling them, this is your calling. This is what is to come out of this. And I hope to help them more than we did this year. We'll certainly continue to be involved in Ben's Wish and have this station give even more support than it did in the last year. In the new year, I fully expect that. So they had a little get-together, kind of a thank you for folks who have helped out Ben's Wish. And it was very, very nice. It was a kind of a little holiday get-together. You know, wine and hors d'oeuvres, and it was a lot of fun. A lot of show fans there, a lot of listeners. And it was good to meet all of you. I was really surprised, quite frankly, in a room that small. You don't usually get that percentage. So it was great meeting all of you. And as my wife and I, we weren't there very long. We had our name tags on, and we were just getting settled in. And this woman comes in, you know, kind of hurriedly. And she's saying hi to people based on looking at their name tag, you know? Oh, hi there. She doesn't have her name tag on. I don't know if she ever put one on. And she gets up close and personal to me, looks on my name tag. Oh, Jerry Bader. Hi, Michelle Langenfeld. It's the first time I ever met the Green Bay Superintendent of Schools. She was tremendously gracious. She really was. Very, 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 very nice. It was very, very, spoke with my wife. Revealed that she listens to the show quite a bit, I would say, because she said to my wife, he talks about you all the time. So that would indicate, people say that. I don't talk about my wife all the time, do I, Jason? Often? Do I talk about my wife once a week? Oh, I don't think I do. Only when I'm in trouble. Is it that often? Well, we had our anniversary last week and all of that, you know, so I mentioned that. That's actually going to lead to a topic later in the show, by the way. Our anniversary dinner will lead to a topic later in the show. But in any event, she was very, very nice. She really was. And I would then, therefore, Michelle, extend the invitation to come on the show and talk issues. And I would promise you that I will be as gracious on this show as you were to me. I will, in fact, make that promise. That doesn't mean I wouldn't ask tough questions, by the way. I'm not saying that. But I would do so in a very polite and respectful manner. So I do extend that invitation. By the way, it really was a fantastic event. And you'll be hearing more about Ben's wish in the coming year. We are going to get more involved in that. Speaking of the school districts, as I was vis-a-vis Michelle Langenfeld a few seconds ago, on Thursday, and I didn't get to it, on Thursday, the paper had an editorial concerning a proposed school district referendum. And I was surprised, pleasantly so, by the tone of it. Green Bay board faces tough sell. Not going to read the whole thing. But essentially what they're saying is the maintenance and other items that the Green Bay School District will put before voters is not going to be a slam dunk, and they need to convince voters of the importance of this. My argument always is a school district should be like anything else. You should budget for items. Now, I know not everybody does that. Sooner rather than later, my home's going to need a furnace. My wife and I should start putting away for that rather than just take the hit and incur the debt. But we will likely incur the debt. Same thing with the roof. We do need to start putting money away. Now, I'm hoping I've got another 5 years on the roof. I really am. No evidence at all of anywhere. We've lived in that house over 9 years, and the roof was 5 years old when we got there. A new roof had been put on 5 years previous. So I'm hoping 20 years is usually, you know, if you did a good job. And I've had professionals look at it who say those roofers did a very good job. But we do need to start putting away for that. And I think school districts need to get in the habit of, instead of pushing the big red button, okay, we need money because the building's falling apart. That just oftentimes seems to be the case. Now, what they point to in this editorial is that a lot of districts have seen referenda not go well, Pulaski probably among the worst. And they also say that even though they make the case that this would not result in a property tax increase because of their retiring debt and it all works out, that whatever the price tag, be it 24, 29, 30 million, whatever, they're going to have to convince voters of this. That it's not just going to be one of those things where, yeah, we need this. There's another topic that I don't have it in front of me. This reminds me. If you can make a mental note, Jason, the story that the paper also had about the possibility of selling naming rights to the new gifted and talented school. Very interesting. Might get to that later in the week. I do want to get to that. But as the paper points out, the current proposal calls for renovations and upgrades at 8 schools in the district, totaling $32 million. The district would use $3 million from the fund balance, bringing that down to 29. The priority projects are for six schools in areas served by East and West High School. Proposed cost for those, $24 million. If the school board adds two projects listed as future projects, now you're up to $32 million. As they say, the school buildings need to be maintained. There's no disagreement there. The question then becomes, does it make sense to go to the $30 million limit and do as much work as possible in maintenance, upgrades, and renovations, or should it be limited to the $24 million and the priority projects at the six schools? In either case, it will be a tough sell to the voters. The school board needs to do its homework, balance needs and wants, and look at future enrollment patterns to see what areas it would be wise to address. They've got that exactly right. I'm laughing at Jason. They have that exactly right. They should not assume that this is a slam dunk. And they also shouldn't assume that people are going to accept the fact that, well, taxes aren't going to rise, so it's all okay. No, what people want to look at is, well, how much is it costing? How much is, what's it going to cost? Well, no, but it's not, see, your taxes won't go up. People don't look at it that way anymore. They did used to look at it that way. I would say they used to fall for that. What they say now is, what is the total cost? What's it going to run us? Hey, Jason, I've got time. We're going to use that audio right now. That FX14567. I've got, what, about 3.5 minutes? Let's do this right now. As you know, Saturday was the anniversary of Pearl Harbor. 72nd anniversary of Pearl Harbor. Didn't do a lot about it on Friday. And by the way, the Pearl Harbor Day happens to be my wedding anniversary. Now, I posted at the Bader blog the speech, FDR's, it's considered his Day Which Will Live in Infamy speech, because that's the most famous quote. You know what I've never done before? I listened to all 8 minutes. It's his declaration of war on Japan. There is a line that I never heard, and there is a term that he uses that I was unaware of. Listen carefully to this, and then I'll tell you what it is that jumped out at me. Go ahead.
No matter how long it may take us to overcome this premeditated invasion, the American people in their righteous might will win through to absolute victory.
The American people in their righteous might. The American people in their righteous might. Now, here's the way that I analyze that. When he says the American people, what he is referring to is the might, the military might, of the United States of America. That we got knocked down, but we're going to get up, and we are going to use our might in what is now a declared war with Japan, well, the Axis powers, really, including Germany, and we're going to win the day. No matter how long it takes, it would end up taking about 4 years. But no matter how long it takes, a war that the American people did not want to be in. The righteous might. Ah, the days before moral equivalency. When we really did consider ourselves morally superior to the evil countries, and that we accepted that there were evil governments run by evil people. And we considered our military might not something, not a source of shame, but a righteous might. And I commented on my own post on Facebook by saying, isn't it almost impossible to imagine today a Democratic president referring to the righteous might of the United States of America? And someone who's obviously a liberal poster replied, oh, just shut up. Yeah, brilliant. Just brilliant. Can you, I'll tell you what, do you know how controversial that would be if the president used that term today to suggest that the might of the U.S. military is more righteous than others? If a Republican did it, it would be, it'd be all over him. Jason says, whatever party he is, his own side would try to impeach him. Well, that might be strong. But yeah, I mean, you're just not supposed to say that today. You're just not. By the way, FDR was right. Ours was a righteous might, and it prevailed. I have a JB exclusive for you. Ain't nobody else got this coming up at 9:06. It's 8:56.